Thank you, Pastor Tim. Yeah, people seem to know. At work, they mention the word Armageddon a couple of times. Make these quantum leap assumptions. Okay, I'm going to talk about gazing stock. Open up to Ephesians chapter 1. It's a funny word, gazing stock. I think of stock, you know, livestock, cattle, goats, sheep. Yes, yeah, so I did think of grazing stock too, but that's got an extra letter in it and it'll be so different. So we've got stock and then, of course, the gazing part. This livestock being set up for people to look at or to show off. And, of course, we are God's sheep. So we'll just open up with a couple of a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, just to introduce. But if you could keep in mind that this talk is about gazing stock, it may not seem it initially. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So important points here is he's predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He's called us according to the good pleasure of his will and to the praise and glory. And he's made us accepted in the beloved. So this God has basically chosen us to be vessels unto him and adopted in the children of his family, really, the Jesus Christ, and according to the good pleasure of his will. So we're there. And Romans chapter 8, just to reinforce this, Romans chapter 8, and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, so he knew beforehand, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So that word predestinate has certainly been defined properly in these scriptures, that we were foreknown and to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay, Matthew chapter 5. So that's something important that is entrenched in us. We know that there's no good thing in us, that God chose us from the foundation of the world to become like Jesus, really. We are Christ-like Christians. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye, i.e. you, spirit-filled Christians, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall he be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So on the one hand, we've been predestinated and he's adjuring us here to shine our light forward because we are the salt of the earth. And I like that analogy, as we all do. You have a plate of food and you only need a little bit of salt to make it more palatable. And we are the salt of this earth. It's like the Lord relies on us being here so that he doesn't destroy it out of his wrath. But we are the light of the world. So God's chosen us to be the light of the world, to be projected up above everyone else so they can see us. And we'll just go back to verse 3, chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So blessed are these people. And the meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's not the people that are proud and proclaim how good they are that that say such things as, we know you're better than, we know we're better than you. And sorry, it's this movie we watched. I've forgotten how it goes now. But we're better than you and we know it. That's right. In this movie that Brent and I watched. But yeah, I mean, we've got this new president of the United States and he's like that. Yes, I'm better than all you and I know it. But no, it's those that are the meek and merciful and seek after righteousness. It's blessed are those that are reviled. So on the one hand, we have been chosen by God. He set us up as lights in the world and to be reviled. But then great is our reward in heaven, because it says here, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So this is kind of the point I'm getting to, is we were chosen, so therefore we were chosen to be persecuted. We were chosen by God to be set up as a gazing stock before the world. It was basically our purpose, I guess you could say. So Matthew chapter 25, get into the livestock side of things now. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So it says this in the scriptures, this will happen. There will be a time when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne in glory. And verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. So these people, the earth is full of goats and sheep. And this time that will happen, because the Bible says it, will be divided like drafting. And on the one hand will be sheep, and on the other hand will be the goats, and the sheep are those chosen by God to be his representatives here on earth. And they are the ones that that did these good things. It says further on that others in the assembly were hungry or thirsty, we helped them out. We spread the news. We told the salvation message to those of the world. That we did the work of the Lord. You sheep, you come in to the rest. And Philippians chapter 2. and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. So, as we read before in Matthew 5, these what people do that are blessed. But it says here, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless before God, and without rebuke. So the Lord has chosen us to be lights, but he hasn't chosen us to be But we are to be without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So to be drawn away of the things that the people around us try to get us entangled into, to run with them, but we don't run with them, so we can remain blameless and without rebuke when Jesus returns. And it says, I like that bit at the end of verse 16, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. So I've brought this out before, that Paul, at the end of his life, looked back and said, I've done a good thing. And so he can look, and us, we can look back on our life here on earth and say that we have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain, because we know that we've been walking in spirit and truth, and that we'll be there when the Lord returns. By running and labouring on the path that he has set out and ignoring the dainties of the world and being, I guess, you know, using the word pride as a and misappropriating it, of course, but, you know, we're proud of the fact that we're different. We're proud of the fact that we are lights and that we stand out. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 14. I had a bit of reading here, but I only read it recently, and I thought, yeah, it's... brings out a very good point to look on the positive side of things. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul was put in prison, and there are some people that that were contentious and saying, ah, look, he deserved it, he was wrong. We were right, he was put in prison, he did bad things. There were others, of course, that that got great comfort from him, standing up for the gospel. He's put in prison, and through love and knowing that he's sent for defence of the gospel, they were emboldened by this because Paul provided a great example. So, but what Paul's saying here, either way, Christ is preached. Now, I'm sure we've all felt the same way. We're all human beings, but even though we have been pre-warned that Jesus said that we will be persecuted and despised, but I still get annoyed or feel sad by it. I feel personally, I suppose, afflicted. But it's Jesus that they're speaking against, but we need to remember that. Either way, even if bad things are said about us, according to this, Christ is still preached, that the word is still propagating throughout the world. And so it's a good thing what Paul's saying here, that either way, Christ is preached, whether it be through envy and strife or goodwill, which is nice to know, really. If God's chosen us to be the light of the world, the gazing stock, we are bound to be rebuked and, belittled and so forth. But either way, Christ is preached. Hebrews chapter 10. He's chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise. How foolish of you to believe in the Bible. But that's the way God's planned it. It's simple. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. So here it is, the gazing stock, that it says it in the scriptures, that we will be made a gazing stock. And it can come, of course, it just about always comes when it's unpredicted. Just recently something came up at work where I was pushed into a corner. I had to explain myself and the way I was acting, and of course it came from the scriptures, but it turns out I had to explain it to half a dozen people. So it just exploded, you know, and it's just, I was a gazing stock. Like I've said before, you feel like a shag on a rock, exposed before the world, but it's what we've been chosen for. It's inevitable. We were chosen to be a gazing stock. God wants us to be a gazing stock. God wants us to stand up in front of the worldly people as a shining light. It's what we were chosen for. And it's how, whether it's through bad or good, either way, Christ is preached. 1 Peter chapter 3, last scripture, and verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So very encouraging scriptures there, that always be ready, because you never know what's going to happen, when it's going to come up, when a man may ask you the reason of your hope, ask you why you do not run with them, ask you why you do things differently, and also, of course, to be happy when you suffer for righteousness' sake. Because that's what God chose us to do. Jesus himself said that if people persecute me, they'll persecute you. It's him that we represent. We don't represent ourselves. So when we are mocked, they are mocking Christ and not us, even though we can't help but take it personally. But it is our commission, and so just carry on and be that gazing stock. Thank you, Pastor Tim.